If you're hearing this, we thank you for pressing play on another edition of It's a Stream of Life podcast with Brandon and Lauren, chronicling life in the peak entertainment era. And we are back with another episode of It's a Stream of Life podcast with Brandon and Lauren. We are into May, which is kind of crazy. April has come and gone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gone very quickly.
Very quickly indeed. And we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs. And lo and behold, the Knicks and Pacers have allegedly reignited their rivalry.
Right, right.
With today's first game in their series. I don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah, I don't either. I think New York may have the better team, a little bit more experience, but obviously I'm hoping the Pacers can pull through. Got my Pacers stuff on right now, so hopefully they can get it done.
Yeah, and I'll be happy for it if they win at least more than one game, like actually give them a challenge. Because go ahead. I was going to say, no one expected the Knicks to sort of struggle like that with Philly after winning three. Absolutely. So right. It's possible.
As much as I want to see the Pacers go through, and this is a rivalry, the Knicks versus the Celtics would be insane. To be that close, you know.
Very much so. Programs,
yeah, that would be insane. So.
Very much so. And I mainly forgot about Orlando and Cleveland. I even know like who the other. I was like, oh, they went to seven games. Oh, okay.
Right.
Had no idea. And speaking of beef, this Kendrick versus Drake.
It's gone too far.
I mean, Kendrick won two songs ago, so that was self-explanatory. But this latest, like everything since then. The new song, the viralness of it, I don't know how you say it, like the BBL Dreezy challenge, like folks are just out here dragging Drake.
Drake, right. And that's a big part of it. I think there's a lot more people that dislike Drake than like Kendrick. So this has just become a thing of, well, how can we poke fun at Drake? How can we do this? But Kendrick has... well, if any of the allegations that have been lobbed are true, then both these people are absolutely horrible people.
And right. So they both need to put the mics down and see a therapist or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But that Not Like Us, bro, when that beat dropped in that song, I was like, oh, wait a second.
It was over. And then the way people are adding that song to TikToks. Yeah. And other miscellaneous videos online. Like, I have never seen a diss track in the social media age, like, get this much traction and play and life. And you wouldn't have that without the internet. Like, before, hit them up. You just talked about it amongst the barbershops and everything and stuff like that. But this is on a whole nother level.
Yeah, it's gone insane. And hopefully they're done. Because, I mean, I feel like after six songs or something, it's like, what else can you say about one another? Like,
just let, like, basically the heart part six from Drake was like a concession. It's okay.
Right. Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Kendrick can go back on wherever he was, and Drake can go back to Toronto, and we'll just be fine. Absolutely. But this week, we're going to get into our feature presentation, which brings up a different sort of beef, I guess. So Jerry Seinfeld's on the press train for his new movie, Unfrosted, which is supposed to be like the loosely fact-based story of how Pop-Tarts came to be. Right. The reviews have not been kind, so there's that. But I guess in the process of this tour, specifically with the New Yorker interview, he mentioned how comedy, at least television comedy, is lacking because of so-called PC culture and the woke left, sort of the whole sort of culture cancel conversation just expanded, how they've killed being able to be offensive to marginalized groups for a laugh, basically.
Right.
And it just doesn't really make sense coming from him. It really also doesn't make sense because there's comedy on TV right now that people are watching of all styles and ranges. So I don't understand where his stance comes from at all. What were your thoughts on the interview?
I think it's one of those, I think it's two things. I think it's somebody trying to drum up publicity for something he was pushing, his movie. I also think it's kind of that thing of the old man yelling at the clouds type thing, where it's like, he's just trying to, I don't know, make noise. Because the thing is that, like you said, there are still comedies that push the envelope and, you know, do what he's saying. But some of these comics from a different age haven't grown with the times. Their art hasn't evolved. They want to tell 1980 jokes in 2004, and people are smarter. They've seen better comedies than what happened in the 80s. And they're like, oh, well, I can't say this, I can't do that. And it's like, you can make those jokes, but I don't know, just change how you do it. You know, change
the right. If you're supposed to be just such great artists, get that pen and get to work and come up with some material that isn't punching down and that isn't 2000 and late. Like,
right.
And it really aligns with this stream of, unfortunately, black comics or stand-up comedians who are stuck in sort of like their trivial kind of sense. Like, in recently, Cat Williams' comedy show on Netflix just came out. I think it's the one he taped in Indianapolis. And it's called like Woke Folk or something to that effect. I don't know. But people were, you know, excited to see it, especially after his appearance on Club Shay Shay podcast. And people were, I didn't see anything that was, I saw one thing or the other. People said there weren't any jokes, or people were enjoying it until he got to the transphobic jokes. And it's like, okay, why is this still a thing?
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. I think points like that, calling things woke, hitting at people of color or the LGBT community are such ways to drum up controversy, drum up publicity. I don't know if these people really believe what they're saying, but they know that they can get more airtime. It's like, oh, if I say this, I like this joke, yeah.
Right, because they're not getting canceled. Not when you keep getting booking shows and become part of the conversation. To get right to what Seinfeld actually said, one of the pulled quotes was, "Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly and they don't get it," Seinfeld said. "It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family is on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This resolves extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people."
And that didn't make sense, because what were they doing in Mary Tyler Moore that was offending people? What was going on in MASH that they were offending people like that?
None of those shows other than All in the Family had like the sort of comedy that was pushing the lines. Yeah, maybe MASH because of the war setting.
Yeah.
But Cheers?
Cheers. I used to watch Cheers all the time and Nick at Night. And yeah, it was like light ribbing, but it was never like, oh, these blacks coming into the bar. I'm not sure what he's talking about.
And to jump to say that that's why no one's watching comedy on TV, one, streaming exists.
Exactly, yeah.
Two, the execs at these stations are seeing that some format that worked in 1955 is not working now, so they pivoted.
Exactly.
Now, there are some comedies on broadcast that are getting much play. Abbott Elementary. CBS is chock full of comedies that would work in 1995.
Right.
Just with a more diverse cast. You have Lopez versus Lopez on NBC, which is like the lowest of the barrel of sitcoms out there.
Right.
But people are tuning in. So I don't understand how there's legit reasons why people aren't watching comedy on TV or why it's not there, but it's not because the PC left. That's not.
And a show that's still on that I talk about all the time on here. It's completely, it's offensive, but it's funny, and they kind of tone it down, but is in its 16th season, is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And that show is beyond anything that ever happened on Seinfeld. And you can go back a few years, and anything that happened on the American version of The Office was more offensive than what happened on Seinfeld. So, you know, his point just doesn't really stand. It has no legs.
Yeah. I think he was trying, like you said, cause a stir or get a rise out of people. And there's fallacies in your argument, sir. Like, it just doesn't stand. And even the interviewer said, well, you know, Curb just wrapped its, 21st season or whatever. He's like, oh, well, you know, that's different. Why? Because it's Craig David?
Yeah.
Or Larry David, not Craig David. Larry David. Wrong David. And also, you have to reconsider, I love Seinfeld. Like, I really enjoyed that show. But Jerry was the least common denominator on that show. Yes, it was about you, but you were the least talented actor, and you're the least funny. It's on the show. So
his storylines were not the funny ones,
So all of this coming from the guy who did Seinfeld, the B-movie, and now a movie about Pop-Tarts, I'm going to need you to sit down and leave the comedy to the people that are doing it today.
Exactly, yeah.
And no one's watching that movie. Like, why?
Like, I can understand maybe where a story like that would be interesting, but he doesn't have the range for that. That's not something I'd want to see Jerry Seinfeld do.
And it just feels unnecessary. Like, there was the, like, what's that phone that everyone used? The BlackBerry movie. That had, like, kind of a plot and, like, some sort of suspense. Even, I guess, the Flaming Hot Cheetos. I had, like, the sort of immigrant aspirational thing. Pop-Tarts.
Like, a children's snack that was not healthy back then and still isn't? Like, what?
Where were we going here? You're reaching, you're reaching and not getting
it's
anything.
It's not revolutionary. No, no.
Not at all. So I don't, and it went to Netflix. So are you part of the problem why comedy is not on TV?
Yeah, that's what someone should ask. Absolutely.
So clearly we're seeing that, like you said, this feels like a ploy to get people to either pay attention to him, pay attention to this movie, or just feel stirred up again to get back in the in the conversation. But it just, it doesn't hold up. I don't know what, I don't know why this is the common goal to sort of place every burden on people that just want to be included. It's very strange. So y'all have to tell us how that movie is, because I'm not watching it.
No, absolutely not. Nope. Not too in
there. Not at all. That's our feature presentation, and we're going to get into our streams of the week. Alrighty, so since we last talked, I was able to finish FX's Shogun. Ten episodes. It ran its 10th episode April 23rd, I believe, was the finale. Excellent, excellent finale. A lot of people were afraid it wouldn't stick the landing just because a lot of shows kind of stumble at endings in these limited series situations. But it was very good. I suggest everyone check it out. If you can't handle subtitles, I guess there are dubbed versions where everything is dubbed in English or whatever. But use your comprehension skills, put your glasses on, and read them subtitles.
Right.
And then I finished Prime Video's Fallout, which was really good.
Okay. Yeah.
As someone that never played the games, wasn't really that versed to the story, it does a great job at building the universe and telling a story that sort of sucks you in. And it's already been renewed for a second season, so there'll be more. Walton Goggins is excellent in the series. People always talked about him in Justified and other series, and I just never got to watch those, but he's definitely standout. I could see him running for lead actor for a drama series, definitely. And the same for the actors and performers in Shogun. A lot of Japanese actors that we're not privy to getting a chance on American television. So it'd be a great opportunity for them. And then we go to our watching segment. I've been tuning into Them, The Scare on Prime Video. This was a sequel to the anthology series. I think the original Them came out maybe 2020. It's been a while since the first one came out. This is a horror anthology series that always has some type of racial, I don't know, aspect to it, if you want, if you will. This season is set in early 90s LA, right after the Rodney King verdict, and a black female officer is investigating a series of murders. They're kind of self, or what's the word I'm trying to say? I guess suspicious. Like, they can't explain how someone could do this to someone, basically. And as she investigates this murder, some type of supernatural thing starts to happen to her and her family. And adjacent to her story, there's a character that's sort of experiencing some sort of, I would say, mental decline. He's not very stable. But he wants to be an actor. And he has issues, eventually has issues parsing, you know, reality with fiction. It's really good. I'm really surprised at how good this season is. The first season was a lot. It just had a lot going on. Too much going on. Yeah. But yeah, definitely tune in. It's only 8 episodes. So it's a really quick watch, I would say, if you have Prime Video. Okay.
That's good. So for me, I haven't watched much. This week was crazy for me. I had family come over. It was insane. But I have been able to keep up with Under the Bridge on Hulu. And it's been pretty good. We're at the point now where we've found out who's killed who and who was killed. And now it's just kind of progressed into not even courtroom yet, but you see the connection between Riley Keough's character and, why is her name escaping me right now?
Lily Gladstone,
yeah. And you see how they come together and how they've come to unravel this case and solve it. And it's been pretty good so far. So the next episode comes out Thursday, I believe, or no, Wednesday. And so it's been good. I think there's maybe 9 or 8 episodes, 8 or 9. So somewhere around there, but it's an easy watch. It's really good. I encourage people to tune in. And I don't have it on there, but I also finally started The Regime on HBO Max. And this is with Kate Winslet. And she's like a leader who is slowly unraveling as the country around her also unravels. And she's like paranoid and just kind of wigging out about stuff. And it's pretty good. She steals every scene that she's in. So you kind of don't even recognize the other people being in there. But it too is worth a watch. So.
Okay. I remember that coming out, but there wasn't much fervor around it at all, which is kind of odd. And I've got to add on there, I'm still watching The Sympathizer. I think I'm like 2 episodes behind now. The second episode was a lot stronger and helped you sort of figure out exactly who's who and what's going on. But I want to get back into that. And now as we enter into May, there's a lot we both want to see because the shows are coming. First up, we both have the same thing. May 10th, Disney Plus gets the newest season of Doctor Who with our new doctor. I just had the name.
It's Kuti Ngatwa, I think.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I'm really excited because I've never watched the show before because it couldn't, we had no access to it.
Right. You'll enjoy it. If you know a little bit of background about the Doctor and how they change and kind of what happens in this universe, then you'll enjoy it. And they always add in stuff from, how would you say, like social commentary. So the Doctor will have this fight, but he'll also be addressing like sexism or something. It's a very good show.
Yeah, I'm excited just to dip into it for something new, something different.
Yeah.
And then May 12th, we both have Interview with the Vampire Season 2 over on AMC. That's literally Sunday. That felt like forever ago, just two weeks ago. And now it's already here. I was hesitant because of the casting change with Claudia. But from what I've seen from the trailers and things, I think this actress is going to do the role justice. Let's see. Then May 17th, Apple TV has The Big Cigar. This is a limited series starring Andre Holland, where he is playing legendary Black Panther Huey P. Newton. It's supposed to be like the fictional tale of how he escaped United States to Cuba, escaping the FBI, CIA, and stuff like that. So basically, a movie producer, they set up his escape as if it was a film so they could hide him out to get him to Cuba. So it's like a comedy, drama, historical fiction type thing going on. So kind of interested in that. Hacks season 3 has already started. I need to get into that. People are saying it's pretty good. The first two seasons were really strong. And then May 23rd, we have the last season of Evil over on Paramount Plus. I'm going to miss it, but I'm glad they're wrapping up when they are with four seasons.
Did you say this is a shortened season too?
It was, but they added an additional like 4 episodes. So I think it's like 14 episode season. Yeah. Cause they were filming and then they found out they were getting canceled. So they tacked on a few episodes to wrap up the series.
So that's good. All right. Yeah. So, like you said, I have Doctor Who as well. Interview with the Vampire, Evil. I'm very excited to see where that goes. And that show, just like Hannibal, is one that I was late to and you told me, and then I like binged it in a day. And I don't know how it's going to end, but I'm excited for it.
Right.
And then on, I believe this is Netflix, there is a documentary about the Ashley Madison scandal. And this happened, 2015, maybe. This was a whole scandal with Ashley Madison, the website where you could have affairs with other people. And the data from that got leaked. And there were famous people on there. There were just... your neighbor was on there. It's very interesting. So I'll check into that. Hopefully it's good. And then there is The Veil. This is with Elizabeth Moss. I spoke about this, I think, the last time. And she is kind of a woman, almost like a detective type thing going around. And she's chasing another woman who she's actually like in pursuit of. And so I want to check that out. And this is already started. I think the first 2 episodes are on Hulu now. So I want to get into that. Challengers. I hope I can get to the theater to see that. I keep seeing people talk about it everywhere. So I definitely want to be in the know. So I'll try to get to the theater and see that. And then there's an interesting show. This show is called Mary and George, and it stars Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galantine. He was just in The Idea of You, the movie on Prime Video with Anne Hathaway. And it kind of follows Julianne Moore's character, who uses her son to seduce King James so that they can take over and become richer and stronger family. So I love Julianne Moore. I love everything that she's in. So I kind of want to check that out. But I don't have Stars. So I've got to find out a way to catch that somehow. So
we have Stars, and I think Jolisa pays for it, but I think I can send you the information because we have it for free. I'm sure she won't mind.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just let me know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the show is already, I think all the episodes are already aired, but I am just late to it. But yeah, I want to check that out. So,
yeah. And this is some random news, but I saw where I guess they're going to be beginning production on season 3 of P-Valley, which is also on Stars.
Oh. I think I saw you post a story about that. Yeah.
Yes. If you don't have Stars, so you probably never watched.
No.
You'll have to start watching P-Valley. Like, there's... I think it came out the same year as Interview with a Vampire, sometime in that COVID era. It's literally one of the best shows on TV, but because it's on Stars and
right.
full black cast, it's not going to get recognized. But yeah, it's a great, great show.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
Hopefully, I'm thinking we might get it at least maybe either late 2024 or early 2025, because they've always taken their time with their seasons, and then COVID slowed it down even more, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, that's what we want to watch. You can catch us next time on Instagram Live Podcast. I will be, you know, neck deep in more NBA playoffs by then. And probably be talking about a little bit more of these movies. I want to see Challengers too. Hopefully I can check that out this weekend because I've heard great things about it. Yeah. But until then, keep on streaming.
Peace.